Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to Fairburn City Council. This is our workshop portion of our meeting. We have two council members. One is out tonight, and that's Councilman Smallwood. Councilman Whitmore is running late. He should arrive in the next 10 to 15 minutes. Madam Clerk, will you call the roll, please?
The Honorable Mayor Elizabeth Carhurst.
Present.
The Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Ulysses J. Smallwood. The Honorable Adam Teague.
Present.
The Honorable Hattie Portis Jones.
Present.
The Honorable Linda J. Davis.
Present.
The Honorable Pat Hallen.
Present.
The Honorable James Whitmore. Madam Mayor, the attendance of council constitutes a quorum. Please allow the meeting to continue.
Thank you so much. We have no presentations on tonight, but we are going to begin by discussing our council agenda. Just so council knows, there is an executive session tonight, and that session will be concerning real estate. Did you have anything else, Attorney Turner? Okay.
I'll talk about the detail any time you're ready.
Okay. Okay. We have two resolutions here. Let's start with the agenda first and see exactly where we're going to add it. Okay, Attorney Turner, we can probably add number 10 and number 11 on the regular agenda, the resolution for abandonment of right-of-way. Okay, can I get a motion on the floor to add these two resolutions to the regular agenda for tonight as item number 10 and item number 11? Item 10 would be resolution abandoned of right-of-way, resolution of the mayor and council of the city of Fairburn to fully and forever abandon approximately 0.28 acres of public right-of-way and to authorize disposition of same in favor of Landmark Christian School.
So moved.
Okay, is there a motion?
Second.
Motion made by Councilman Heath and seconded by Councilwoman Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That resolution is added as item number 10. The next item to be added would be item number 11, and that's also a resolution of abandonment of right-of-way. A resolution of the mayor and council of the city of Fairburn to fully and forever abandon approximately 0.28 acres of public right-of-way and to authorize disposition of same in favor of Landmark Christian School to be used for educational purposes. Is there a motion on the floor?
So moved.
Motion made by Councilman Palin and seconded by Councilwoman Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries. That resolution is added to the regular agenda tonight as item number 11. You're very welcome. Okay, the first item on the regular agenda tonight is from the Office of the Mayor, and it's for appointments to the Art Advisory Council. Is Ms. Peaks here? Could you come up? I know my name is here, but actually it belongs to you.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
This particular agenda item is seven appointments to the newly created Art Advisory Council. On October 28 of last year, we created an ordinance to establish this board. And so these are the seven appointments that I've submitted to the mayor for appointment to the council. And staff is recommending approval on these.
Okay. Are there any questions before I begin, go on? Madam Clerk, would you make sure the records reflect that Councilman Whitmore arrived about 6:06? Are there any questions for Ms. Peaks concerning the appointments to the Art Advisory Council? Seeing none, is there any objection to adding item number one to the consent agenda? No. Item number one will be added to the consent agenda. Thank you, Ms. Peaks. Item number two is from Human Resources. Ms. Linda Johnson from Mayor and Council to approve the proposed changes to the City of Fairburn Personnel Policy Handbook, resignations, education assistance, and bereavement leave. Thank
you. Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This, again, is for recommended changes to the Personnel Policy Handbook. And the history is, I will take these individually, for Section 2-52.16, Notice of Resignation. The City of Fairburn's Personnel Handbook did not specify to whom an exit interview form would be presented or conducted by. Upon their termination, involuntary termination, or their resignation. This proposal would provide that the HR director would present the exiting employee with a exit interview form and also conduct the exit interview. Additionally, this particular section did not require that an employee present a doctor's note during the time of notice of resignation. So this is to add to that section that an exiting employee, if they required use of sick leave during their notice period for resignation, that they would be required to present an excusing doctor's note. Of course, this would help deter misuse and abuse of sick leave. Section 2-53.5, education assistance. HR is recommending that particular section be deleted in its entirety. Currently, there is no education assistant plan in Human Resources. There is no plan. It does not exist, nor is one in use. All employees who are eligible for training or development, each department has a budget for training and development, and as employees need it, they can request it, and it is approved by their department head. The last one, section 2-53.13, bereavement leave. This proposal is to revise this section to limit the use of bereavement leave to employees' immediate family members, to include spouse, children, parents, brothers, sisters, grandparents, and grandchildren, and any other person who resides in the employee's household and who is recognized by federal law as a dependent of the employee. Thus, removing mother-in-law, father-in-law, son-in-law, or daughter-in-law. However, employees may use accrued vacation leave or annual leave for any non-qualifying relative. The recommendation is that Mayor and Council approve these proposed revisions.
Okay, before I open the floor over for a discussion, I want council to understand that there has been quite a bit of abuse of sick leave when an employee resigns. When an employee resigns, those 2 weeks that they give us, most of that time is taken in sick leave. And we have never required a doctor's excuse for it. And so what the employee is actually doing is using their sick leave so that they can continue to get paid for their vacation time. And so we just felt like at this particular time, once a resignation is submitted, we must have a legitimate doctor's excuse. So that's the reason behind that. Okay, the floor is open for any questions that you may have. Councilman Heath?
I was reading in there where it's given 24 hours of time off for bereavement, and which equals 3 ordinary working days.
Yes.
But our police department and fire department are on a totally different time schedule. Police are 12-hour shifts, and the fire department is 24-hour shifts.
Absolutely.
How does that work for them?
Well, I am going to try to take a guess of the reasoning and the rationale. Yes. It does say 3 working days.
Okay.
And I think that I believe the intent when this section was written and approved, it was to cover any type of shift work. Whatever a shift was considered a day. Okay. If it was a 12-hour shift, that was a day, or a 24-hour shift, that was a day, as also the 8-hour shift being a day.
Okay.
So they did put in parentheses 3 working days,
okay.
as opposed to hours.
All right.
Okay, I see Chief Robinson is shaking his head in agreement.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, thank you for that clarification.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other questions for Ms. Johnson concerning the policy revisions or deletions? Councilwoman Portis Jones.
So the mother-in-law and father-in-law, I think that's extremely harsh. The spouse is there to support, the other spouse is there to support their spouse who has lost that parent. And why would we not allow at least one day of bereavement for them to support their spouse?
Well, this was to also bring this into conformance with like the sick leave policy as well as the FMLA policy, and also to just curb the use of sick leave. Of course, that same employee that you identified could use their accrued vacation leave.
What if they don't have vacation?
They don't get paid.
They don't get paid.
Okay. So we pride ourselves, we, the City of Fairburn, pride ourselves on being a caring employee. To not offer bereavement for the death of your mother-in-law or father-in-law? I don't think that speaks very highly of us. I mean, at a minimum, we can offer one day of bereavement for your in-laws.
We are following the policy for the FMLA, and we changed those policies the last 2 weeks. Myself, being a person who believes in doing as much as I possibly can for employees, I am in total agreement with this. And let me just say this, because we've had employees here in the City of Fairburn who are married, the last instance, and I think the mother died, the mother of the wife died. So the husband got 3 days. The wife got 3 days. That was 6 days on the City of Fairburn. So I wouldn't say that the City of Fairburn is not conscious or don't have a heart. We do, but you have to also understand that we have to pay our bills. And you know, there's some things that we just can't do. I think Fairburn is one of the cities that really have gone overboard in what we pay. I've looked at other cities' bereavement leaves, and it's not as gracious as ours is. So with that being said, are there any other questions concerning this bereavement leave or any other leave that we're anticipating having changed on our books? Is there any objection to placing this on the consent agenda?
Yes, I have an objection.
Okay, this will go to the consent agenda at 7 o'clock. Thank you, Ms. Johnson. I'm sorry, this go to the regular agenda at 7 o'clock. The next item is from our police department, Chief Mathis. And thank you so much. I got some calls today concerning, before you text me and told me you were at church on yesterday, and I heard that you were very gracious of me.
Always, Mayor.
So thank you so much. They said your chief really loves you. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am. Hey, tonight we're here asking for a speed trailer, and you guys probably heard me mention it a couple of times. And what I would like to do is introduce you to Lieutenant Eddie Eisworth, who's going to do the presentation. He's the one that done the research, and he's going to be doing the presentation.
Good evening, Mayor, Council.
Good evening.
Before I go into my proposal, I just wanted to take a quick minute to say thank you. I've been employed with the city for 14 years now, and you know, I've gone through the gamut of seeing a bunch of chiefs, police officers, good and bad, come and go. I did 12 years in the National Guard with 2 overseas deployments, seeing good leaders and bad leaders. In the past 18 months, ever since you all decided to bring Chief Mathis on board, it's probably been the best 18 months of my career as far as
thank
challenges,
you.
Staying active, mobile, learning things, the accountability that he's brought to the police department. And I pride myself in the position that I'm in, that I keep my ear low to the ground. I hear from the rank and file officers, the supervisors. I know you hear from the citizens how well Chief Mathis has done, but how often have you heard from the officers? And me, myself, I consider myself as a spokesperson for the officers, because you know, the more people that I talk to, I can always be that voice. And I can tell you from the rank and file officers, we appreciate what you guys have done bringing Chief Mathis on board to the police department, because we're achieving the potential that I've always seen in my 14 years here. And it's only gotten better with each month. The challenges, the goals and tasks that I think are impossible, and I kind of look at them with a kind of an eye like, oh, I don't think that's going to happen, but we seem to always make it happen. So again, thank you for the support you guys have given us over the past year and a half, and hopefully we can always exceed your goals and expectations.
Thank you.
Going into my proposal, my proposal is for a speed alert 24 radar message trailer. Essentially, you've seen some of these trailers in jurisdictions, and the pictures in the packet that you were provided, very similar to almost like Peachtree City's. It gives you the alert if the driver is going too fast on a road that's 35 miles per hour. It'll blink the red and blue lights and tell you, hey, your speed is 55 in the posted 35. This trailer in particular also has the message capabilities. So like the Renaissance Festival, when we have the traffic backed up, if we have to detour traffic, or if West Campbellton breaks down because of a pipe draining issue and we have to close the roads, we could have that trailer posted. Now, in my proposal, I've put out 3 justifications. One of them is the motor vehicle accidents. Over the past 3 years, from 2016 to 2019, we've had an 18% increase in accidents. Obviously, one of your top reasons for vehicle accidents is speeding. The speed detection trailer right there would help at least alleviate. I can't sit here and promise you there would be a 50% decrease in accidents. That'd be unrealistic. But if I can make a little bit of a dent in that, that's my overall goal. Another justification would be the message trailer. We've had road closures before, and sometimes it can be hard to get the street department or posting a police officer out there for hours on end closing a road, whereas we can just have a sign out there that'll detour the traffic, whether it be a detour off of West Campbellton onto Go Lightly or Dodge Street back up to 29. Such things as those. And the main justification that I came up with is, on a weekly basis, the police department receives calls from concerned citizens, whether it be in a subdivision or maybe near a main route, where the citizen feels as though there's speeding, alleged speeding infractions occurring right by their road. And most times, our goal is always to serve that community, serve that citizen. How can we answer that citizen's complaint? Most times right now, I'm passing it on to the shift, or I pass it on to my special operations officers that work traffic enforcement, and they'll go post up there for an hour, 2 hours, at intermittent times throughout the day, trying to see if this complaint is actually valid. That can take away vital resources, especially if we're running 5, 6, 7 officers to a shift, and I'm sending one officer out for 5 or 6 hours to see if this one citizen's complaint can be confirmed or denied. It works, but how can I make it more efficient? And that's where Chief was able to relay, hey, maybe we need to look at a speed detection trailer. The reason the speed detection trailer could be good is because if I have a Meadow Glen is one of the ones subdivisions they have complaints on. We reduce the speed down, and unfortunately, we still do get complaints. If I had the speed detection trailer, I can place it out there. It'll let drivers know, hey, you're speeding or you're going the speed limit. At the same time, this company in particular, All Traffic Solutions, has a traffic suite. It's a web-based program, unlike any other companies, where it'll provide all the data analytics as far as how many vehicles have gone through past the speed trailer, what are the average speeds, what time of day. So if I do come across a subdivision or a street or 74 or Highway 29 where I know there's a speeding issue, it'll be able to break it down what time frame, what point of days. And granted, you know, 74 and 29, probably morning rush hour, afternoon rush hour. But what about roads like Rivertown Road or Fayetteville Road near Mahaffey? I know that we've had complaints of speeding right around Mahaffey and Fayetteville. So that speed detection trailer will essentially buy me an additional resource where I don't have to worry about posting a police officer. And I can post that trailer out there. Let me get the data from it. And let's see, okay, I see a time frame, 3 to 4 p.m. in the afternoon on Rivertown Road. I need to get an officer out there because it showed 5 out of 6 days. There was lots of speeding issues. And on page 2 of my proposal, it goes into some of the operability as far as the message trailer itself. Like I said, it'll post the speed limit of the driver. It can give messaging capabilities. The trailer itself also comes with solar panels. They're 60-watt solar panels and I believe it's 470 amp deep cycle batteries. So fully charged solar panel with the deep cycle batteries can provide up to 2 weeks. 2 weeks of battery life for the trailer, making it operable without any solar assist. So based on what I'm speaking with the company, they average from what they've sold to other jurisdictions 3 or 4 times a year that they're having to actually recharge everything. So I would consider that pretty, because of the solar panels, that's obviously very functional. The trailer also has tamper alert. I know some questions come across, well, what happens if somebody tries to steal it or somebody tries to damage it? The front of the trailer has camera capabilities, and part of that traffic suite application, the web-based program, has the tamper alert where I would get an email or text notification, hey, somebody's trying to move your trailer. So coupled that with the camera on the front, it'll help hopefully give us some type of alert. And of course, you know, when I get the alert, I tell the officers, hey, our trailer's about to be stolen, get there. So. And of course, there were some other miscellaneous notes as far as like delivery time and the recurring costs. The overall bottom line is, though, I'm asking for a approval of $15,000 for this speed detection trailer. And I know some of the questions may be, did we have this allotted in our budget? No, we did not. Our goal is to actually use our technology fee fund, which has been set aside within the PD, and utilize that money to purchase this trailer.
Okay. Okay, are there any questions, Councilman Heath, and then Councilman Whitmore and Councilwoman Davis?
Okay, my question is, the technology line item, what was that money there for originally? Do you know?
The technology fee fund was set up a few years ago, I believe, between the judge and city council, I believe, a few years ago. Essentially, it was $15 out of every citation that was heard in court was set to the side. Okay. And what that money is used for, as long as it has some type of nexus to court services.
Okay, and what? How much is in that account? Do you know?
$100,000,
okay.
Yeah. More than enough. Councilman Whitmore?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lieutenant, for that presentation. I just want to say there's a couple of things that strikes me as being a plus. All right, number one is the message capability. With a lot of things that we had going on throughout the city over the past year alone, this would have been helpful. Number two, the data analytics. That is key for me because now all that data coming in, you can pinpoint times and make sure an officer is out there during that period of time versus manpower being out there for an 8-hour period.
Yes, sir.
That's key. And last but not least, which is probably one of my high points, solar, all right? And the fact that without charging, it will last 2 weeks. And of course, even while it's out there, if the sun is up, you can still make sure that that thing is being charged as well.
Yes, sir.
So those are three keys that I was happy to hear in your presentation. And I applaud you and thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Councilwoman Davis.
First and foremost, Lieutenant Eisworth, I want to commend you for such an excellent presentation. You hit everything that anybody could come up with questions, and you know I usually do have questions. But you addressed every single item, the capabilities of it, the public safety of it, for citizens' viewpoint, our viewpoint, in reference to cost and everything. So I commend you for such a thorough research and presentation. I only have one little question, some clarification. On your page 2, under cost, we're saying that the impact to the budget is going to be $15,000, but it has that little word estimated. It says the estimated cost for the approval is $15,000. Is there any reason estimated is in there? Will there be any additional?
The only additional thing will be the optional reoccurring cost after the fact. So if everything goes well tonight, tomorrow morning, make the orders $15,000 flat, and then after every year, if we want to continue to keep the traffic suite, which is the data analytics, then it would be an additional $1,500, and that's it.
Okay. And with that, those analytics, it's almost as if we won't even have to have a traffic study done when we're doing projects because, wow, it gives you so much information.
It does.
As it relates to, so those reports are outstanding. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Are there any other questions? Councilwoman Portis-Jones?
I too want to commend you on a fantastic presentation. It was very, very thorough. A couple questions I do have, and one was about the recurring costs, and you did answer that. We are purchasing one trailer, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
So my question to you is, because there are several areas where speed is an issue, what's the rotating schedule or what is the determinant for rotating the trailer from one area of the city to another?
Initially, usually when I receive the complaints, the officers would only go out there for a day, maybe 2 days, for hours on end, just to give me the information. Because I have this trailer with the data analytics, I could keep it up there at a certain location for 4 to 7 days, and that should be able to give me enough analytics as far as whether or not, hey, this citizen's complaint is true, these are the time periods. Then I can send officers out, and I can move the trailer to the second location.
Okay, so the trailer then is replaced by an officer?
Correct.
Okay. Chief, thank you so much for finally bringing this forward. I've sent you numerous communications about different types of trailers or speed posting devices that I've seen because of Rivertown Road. And I have been complaining about Rivertown Road for the 7 years now that I've served on council. So I am very happy to see this. And I would like to get some feedback from you guys about the data that you're saying, because then if we've got the trailer, we have an officers out there, is there something else that we need to do at some point, depending on what happens? Because at some point, we may need officers someplace else, but we want to be able to maintain speed at all times. I'm not asking you to answer that. I'm just asking you to evaluate the data as it comes in, share that with us. Also evaluate when the officer is posted and the trailer is moved to another area, what's happening, and continue to monitor and see what else we might need to do.
Yes, ma'am.
And if those two things are the answer, then that's fantastic. But, let's see.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
I appreciate that.
In the past, what we've done is leave these things in a location for 72 hours. And in 3 days, we get a pretty good idea of when the speeds actually occur. So say if it's between 8 and 10 in the morning, so we can send a police officer out there from 8 to 10, opposed to what we're doing now. If we get complaints, we send a police officer out there from 8 to 4, and they may not see any traffic from noon to 4. So it's just, it's, we don't
we
really
know Rivertown is not that
no.
big.
No, Rivertown is probably going to give us from 8 to 10, and then again at lunchtime, and then again at the end of the day. So that's kind of what I'm thinking, but this data will just solidify what I'm already thinking.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing that.
Chief, before you sit down, would you please, oh, you had another question,
yes,
Councilman
yes,
Heath?
Ma'am.
Okay, sure, go on.
Go ahead. I don't interrupt you.
No, go on.
Okay. As we all know, that's ever been in law enforcement, that when you have streets that you operate radar on, they have to be certified through the state. Does this have to be certified through the state?
No, sir, because state. It's not actually writing a citation. It's just
got
collecting
it.
Data.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Chief,
yes, ma'am.
Would you be so kind as to update the council? Last Thursday, we had a promotion ceremony. And it was fantastic, you all. I found out at the last minute, actually, Chief texted me about an hour before, and I was able to make it. But we had a promotion ceremony last Thursday over in the training building. So would you just give them a little snippet about who were promoted and just
Absolutely.
What happened? Okay, thank you.
And the I want to try to start making these promotions a big deal. But it's hard to get all my people here to a council meeting to do it. So I tried to make it a big deal over there. I had cake, cupcakes, I had orange juice. I invited all the family members. But what we had is we had a sergeant go from a sergeant to a patrolman about 6 months ago, and I did not fill that position. And then we had Tony Williams retire at the 1st of February, so I had a lieutenant's position. And then I had a sergeant going to be promoted to lieutenant's position, so then I had two sergeant's positions open, so it left me two corporal's positions open, and then one of the people that was promoted, I had to fill that detective position. So I had a lieutenant, two sergeants, two corporals, and a detective that got promoted last week. And what promotions do is show these young people that there's upward mobility. And when they can see other officers around them being promoted, it just raises morale. So I appreciate, Mayor, you showing up. Mr. Stroud, I appreciate you coming. And what I would like to do in the future when we have these is invite the whole council so you guys can come see these things. Because these police officers, with their families there and we having their significant other pin their badges on them,
yes.
It's a big deal. And these police officers really enjoy it.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Council, are there any objections to placing item number 3 on the consent agenda?
Nope.
Seeing none, item number 3 will go to the consent agenda. Next item, number 4. Actually, this is probably just an update from finance. Would you come up, please, Ms. Jackson?
Item 4 is to utilize 2014 bond proceeds for the following utility projects. Approved by council on February 10th, 2020. The Shaw Drive Generator, $74,000. St. John's Crossing Sewer Repair, $71,250. And the Waterboy Storm Drain Pipeline, $42,175.
Okay, are there any questions concerning these projects that we approved back in February? We've already commenced working on Shaw Drive. Mr. Jackson, I don't think St. John's Crossing has started yet. Waterboy has not started yet.
No, it's too wet.
It's too wet. Okay. Are there any questions concerning these approved utility projects?
Nope.
Okay. This item will go to the consent agenda. Any objections to it going to the consent agenda?
Nope.
Okay. Item number 5, community development. Mr. Thompson. Parking lot design.
Yes, ma'am.
At the train depot.
Yes, ma'am. Purpose of this agenda item is to approve contract award with Clark Patterson Lee for parking lot design services at the train depot, the future location of Casablanca Restaurant. December, we solicited proposals. 3 were received. And based on evaluation, Clark Patterson Lee came back as a selective responded on that one. Want to be kind of transparent on one. Ms. Davis did bring up an issue. It's not a the budget doesn't. I mean, it's $25,000 was the estimate, but in task order number 4, that has hourly rates, so it's not going to be the final total on that. So they're going to be answering questions based on RFIs, but it is an amount not to exceed 15% of the total contract amount. So when you take the second respondent, which is Pond, they came in at 36, and Moreland, which came in at 42, mm-hmm. adding 15% to their total of 25,000 gives you 29,000. Mm-hmm. So you still have the lowest respondent. Okay. So I just kind of wanted to be clear on that.
Okay, Councilwoman Davis.
Okay, so in reference to that, you're saying it will not go over 15% of what they've already given us as a total.
Yeah, if you read down on page 2 of their proposal, under fee proposal, mm-hmm. it says we will not exceed the estimated budget. Direct expenses will be billed at cost plus 15%.
So, I see that. Okay, it says without authorization.
Without authorization, that's correct.
Okay, now is that key, without authorization?
Yes ma'am. Ma'am.
Okay.
Because we don't pay it.
Okay.
And I appreciate you bringing that up.
Councilman Heath?
How many parking spots do you think we'll wind up with there?
That's going to come out of the design, really.
Yeah, they're going to try to maximize design.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know at this mm-hmm. point. Okay. Only thing that's going to retain is the monument there. They're going to work around that, but the bushes and all that are going to go away.
Okay.
Yeah. Councilman Whitmore.
In this design, I'm sure you have some thoughts in your head, in your mind. Part of that, this design we're looking at right there on 29, where we're pushing back. So we have some street parking, is that correct?
No street parking. It's going to all be within the parking
lot. It's all going to be within that parking lot?
We're going to have a retaining wall or something like that to extend the parking lot out, but no street parking.
Extend the parking. Okay, gotcha. Thank you, sir.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Thompson concerning this contract award? Any objection to placing this item on the consent agenda? Seeing none, item number 5 goes to the consent agenda. Item number 6, Mr. Jackson, the landscape irrigation system requirements ordinance.
Yes, good evening, Madam Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
This is one of four ordinance that the city attorney and also the integrated science, our engineer department got together that this is something that we definitely need. City attorney had vetted this ordinance to be approved on tonight, and I concur along with him. And the city of Fairburn is a permittee with the Georgia Environmental Protection Division, which is part of the Metropolitan North Georgia Water Planning District. And as part of the water resource management, we are required to adopt a local ordinance for a large landscape, which include various pressure master shutoff switches, things of that nature.
Just a second. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Mayor. We'll be doing an issue later.
Attorney Turner, you looked at this. The terms and conditions of this particular task order. Did you?
Well, item number 6. Item number 6, Mayor, is that ordinance?
Right. Okay.
So are those the documents that you have?
No. Yeah, no. This particular document, number 6, is the landscape irrigation system requirement ordinance, that's the next item. It's the next one. It's correct, incorrect in the book.
Okay.
So we should, so this item, I'm confused. So this actually should be, it's incorrect. That's why I'm looking at it and it doesn't make sense. So it's incorrect in the book. So item number seven in the book actually should be item number six.
Right. That's what I was going to share.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor.
I was going to share that.
Okay.
Correcting that for us. So.
Yeah, we switched them around.
Now we're good.
Yeah.
Okay.
The items are fine with their number. And I think what happened was the backup documents for item number six may not have made it into some of the books. That's what I think that's what happened.
Okay, well, we do have, we just had to switch it. It's in here.
We do have it.
We got it. Yes. Yes, we do have it. I was confused because I was looking at one thing and it was saying something else.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Did you finish, Mr. Jackson?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Are there any questions for Mr. Jackson now that we have the correct
tab?
Is there any questions concerning the approval of the landscape irrigation system requirement ordinance?
Nope.
Any objection to placing this item on the consent agenda? Okay, Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Yes, so that I can review these and think about them in the context. You stated that there were four ordinances that we'd have to, four ordinances that we will have to approve or have approved that is dictated by the North Georgia Water.
Yes.
Whatever that title is.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So my question to you is, this is number two. This one is number three.
This is number three.
Okay.
We did two the last meeting.
Okay, two. So I remember. Okay, that's right. And then what will be the last one?
Council's working on that one.
Yes, can you just give me the title?
Actually,
a subject?
Actually, trying to remember exactly. It's the very large one.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the water planning district, we were informed a couple of weeks ago they are going to rewrite that ordinance.
Right.
So we don't have one ready to adopt yet. I just about had it ready to adopt when we were informed that it was going to be amended. So we're waiting on that one to be delivered. And Stephen, I swear, I'm trying to remember exactly
the
topic of that.
I know part of that is going to be some of that backflow will be involved in that. It's pretty large, so that's why they, all the other counties, everybody's on hold until they decide what's going to actually go inside of that.
And I think we're anticipating the planning district to rewrite that ordinance. It's a model ordinance that they rewrite.
That is
whatever it is. So they're expecting to rewrite that before the end of the second quarter.
All right, well, if you don't mind, if you could just send me that topic, that's all I want to know, what it's about. Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Are there any objections to placing item number six on the consent agenda?
Nope.
Seeing none, item number six goes to the consent agenda. Item number seven, Mr. Stephen.
All right, number seven, Madam Mayor and Council. It is the Neptune. As of right now, our licenses for our meter reading devices has elapsed. So we're here to we're asking you to approve the $26,200 that impact our budget to renew our licenses and also have a database that stores data for 90 days instead of what we have now. We don't have that capacity now.
And I just want council to also know that we have how many different meters? Three or four? We have four different meters in the city, and we're trying our best to convert to just one meter. And I think that we're trying to go with the iTron meters.
Yeah,
so are there any questions for Mrs. Jackson concerning the to approving this $26,200 for the licensing and conversion from the iTron meter reading system to the Neptune?
Just one question.
Councilwoman Portis Jones.
I am elated to hear that we're trying to go one type of meter that's been a sore spot for a very long time in terms of reading meters. So my question to you is, how far along are we
Well, we have a long way to go.
We change the meters out as needed, so we're going to use up what we have and continue to hope to get the correct data that we bill in our customers. So to give you a timeline of how that's going to take place, it's just work in progress.
Okay, can you tell me the percentage of the city that is has been covered in the same type of meters? Are you able to answer that?
No.
Not at this time.
Okay. All right, if you'll provide that information for me.
I will do my best. Right, yes.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
And that information is going to be very hard to provide to you right now, Ms. Portis-Jones. I'm going to be very frank that because of what's going on with the migration, we're working very hard. We had Tyler Technology in the city last week for 3 days. We're doing our best to do a total migration from the Harris system to Tyler. We've got to get our billing in order. So I just want to be upfront that that's not something that with how many meters we have in that's being used in our system and in different places that that the utility department it can be tasked with working on right now. So I'm not saying that they cannot do it. But it's going to have to get on the back burner because right now we really have something that's really serious going on in the city as far as making sure people bills are correct and that we can get these bills read and out in a timely manner. But we will get it to you, but I just can't give you a time.
All right, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, item number 7, Mr. Jackson. I'm sorry, that's it. Is there, I'm sorry. Councilwoman Davis.
And I'm the favorite.
Okay.
You're the favorite.
Councilwoman Davis.
Just a quick question, Mr. Jackson. Does the $840 annual subscription for this, is that included in the $26,200? Or do you see that being something that's necessary?
That'd be additional cost annually moving forward. We don't have any.
Okay.
So that's why we're trying to move swiftly to make sure that all the bills, when they come, well, all the meters, when you get reading is accurate. So as of now, that's not
a part of it. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Councilman Heath?
Number one question, does this software have the ability to read all four meters?
Yes.
Okay. And next, last question is, is this an annual cost, or is this going to be like every 2 or 3 years we'll have to update software and all that kind of stuff?
No, it's going to be an annual cost, but we won't.
An annual cost of $26,000?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was going back to
$800.
$800. Okay. All right, thank you. It makes me feel a lot better.
Okay, all you heard was $26,000.
Yeah.
Councilman Whitmore? Did you have a question?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Okay. Seeing no other questions, is there any objections to placing this item on the consent agenda?
Nope.
Item number 7. Seeing none, item number 7 will go to the consent agenda. Item number 8, Parks and Recreation. Mr. Stroud.
Mayor, if I may, real quickly.
Yeah.
The fourth final ordinance is a model floodplain management.
Yes.
That's it. It's very, very lengthy. It's probably going to touch on a couple of different areas in our operation, but it's being reworked and prepared. So we'll have some time later this year.
All right. Thank you so much.
Greetings,
Mr.
Mayor.
Mr. Stroud. Good evening.
Good evening.
Item number 8 for the mayor and council to approve the user agreement for the Southside Kickers Kickball League. This is a 25 and older league. And what they do is come out every Sunday and practice at Duncan Park. They are prepared to have the medical people in place that they need for CPR. They prepared to have their security deposits. And they have done this in the past, so they understand that if they tear up something, they got to replace it.
Right.
Okay, are there any and this contract is for, what's the time frame
August 1st through, no. I mean, I'm sorry, March 1st through August 10th.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Are there any questions concerning this agreement? Seeing none. Any objections to placing item number 8 on the consent agenda?
Nope.
Item number 8 will go to the consent agenda. Item number 9, Mr. Stroud.
Item number 9, for Mayor and Council to approve a usage agreement for South Fulton and Little League. This league is from 7 to 14 years of age. They, too, understand that because they've done it last year. They have a $400 fee and a $200 non-refundable fee just in case something is need repair.
And the term of this contract?
The term of this contract is from 1 March to 1 August.
Okay. Okay. Are there any questions, comments concerning this usage agreement with South Fulton Little League?
Nope.
Any objections to placing item number 8 on the item number 9 on the consent agenda?
Nope.
Seeing none, item number 9 goes to the consent agenda. Item number 10 is from our city attorney. They were added on tonight. And let me just clarify, because item number 10 is 0.29 acres, and item number 11 is 0.28 acres. Okay, that's the difference in these two.
Okay.
Okay. All right, you want to give us a... Yes, please. And we'll have to make that correction on, yes.
Good evening, everyone. Yes, if I can call your attention to line 13 of those resolutions. At line 13, you'll see that one of those resolutions is 0.28 acres, the other is 0.29 acres.
Right.
And I will correct the heading to make sure that is correct. What we're looking to do here is that Landmark Christian School is about to undertake an expansion and construction of a new high school facility. There are two pieces of right-of-way that the city of Fairburn acquired years and years and years ago. One of them was to do an extension of Church Street. The other one was to do an extension of Chestnut Street. If you will look at the very last document attached to each of those packages, you will see in the one that is for 0.28 acres, you'll see that concerns Chestnut Street. And you can see the surveyed portion of that right-of-way that extends across and is now completely surrounded by property owned by Landmark Christian School. This request to transfer these right-of-way over to the school is to facilitate their project. It has been vetted through Mr. Stokes, through Mr. Thompson, and through the utility departments. So the substance of the resolution is, if you'll recall, how we handled a similar transaction with the Fulton County School District is to declare this property of no use, no future use to the city, to abandon it, and then to transfer it over to the school. This Landmark Christian School has paid all the surveying costs associated with this, and they will be reimbursing the city for all of my time that I've spent pulling these documents together and getting this transaction ready to go. So this is a no-cost transfer of these right-of-ways over to the school so that they can get the their project going and clear up that those two little fingers that stick onto their into the middle of their property. So if you look at the next document, which is the one that is at line 13, is 0.29 acres of land. If you go all the way to the last document there, you'll see the survey that concerns property that was originally intended to extend Church Street. There's Church Street and Chestnut, that it went across into their property. It's completely surrounded by Landmark, and we're just asking for approval to transfer those unusable right-of-ways over to the school for their use. And Molly Mayfield is here, who's the Landmark Christian's chief financial officer, and if you all had any questions specifically about a project, she's here to fill those for you. So that's what we're asking for.
Okay. Are there any questions to Attorney Turner concerning the two resolutions for right-of-ways, 0.28 acres and 0.280 and 0.290 acres? Any questions?
Nope.
Okay. Any objections to, may I put this on the consent agenda, even though we added it?
I think you should not.
Okay. So these two items is going to be added to the regular agenda at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay. All righty.
Thank you.
Okay, it's 6:57. We got 3 minutes. Okay. We don't really have time for it tonight, so I'll be more than happy to do it at the 7 o'clock.
That'll be fine.
Okay, 7 o'clock, we'll do that. We stand adjourned until 7 o'clock. Good evening, and welcome to the regular session of Fairburn City Council meeting. Today is Monday, February 24th. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
The Honorable Mayor Elizabeth Carter.
Present.
The Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Elizabeth J. Smallwood. The Honorable Alex Heath.
Present.
The Honorable Hattie Cordes Jones.
Present.
The Honorable Linda J. Davis.
Present.
Present.
Madam Mayor, the attendance of council constitutes a quorum. Please allow the meeting to continue.
Thank you so much. She's here. I see her. Sorry, Apostle. would Apostle Danita Jones come up for the invocation? Would everybody stand and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Our Heavenly Father, we come tonight, Lord God, lifting up your name, thanking you in advance, Lord God, for what you're doing for this great city. Lord, we ask right now that you would touch each council person one by one. We ask that you touch the mayor of this great city, Lord God, and we ask right now that the decision that they make tonight will be for the better of this community, Lord. And Father, we ask right now in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, Lord God, that you are still the comforter and you are still wise to make any mistakes. So Father, we ask right now, as the city grow, Lord God, you will continue to give it wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We thank you in advance. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Council, at the 6 o'clock workshop, I failed to poll council to find out if there was anything you wanted to bring before the full council tonight. We will start, so we're going to do that at this particular time, and I'll start with Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Yes, Chief Matthews, would you come up, please? I want to ask a question regarding code enforcement.
Yes, ma'am.
First of all, thank you, your department, for delivering our council books, for the past 20 months or so. I really appreciate that. It makes all the difference in the world. But this last time, which is the first time I've ever experienced it, the body cameras were on the code enforcement officer. And one, I couldn't understand why to deliver a book, a notebook. And two, when I asked if the camera was rolling, he just shrugged his shoulders and did not acknowledge that it was rolling. So I'm concerned about that.
Wanted to know why now, since that's the first time that's ever happened to me, and what is our policy, regarding non-issues and use of body cameras, because I thought, there was, the officer, and I'm putting them in that category, to use discernment and discretion regarding use of the body camera and privacy issues regarding the body camera. So I'm very concerned that happened to me in particular, and I don't know if that has happened to anyone else, citizen or council person alike, I don't know. But the fact that it happened is of concern.
Yes, ma'am. I have to tell you, I have no idea. I have no idea why they would have the body camera on. We do have two new code enforcement officers. If he had it on, he may not have known he had it on.
No, I ask.
And he said that he did?
He did not acknowledge at all. He didn't say yes, he didn't say no, he said neither.
Well, I'll certainly look into that. Do you know which one delivered yours?
Or whoever assigned the code enforcement officer to deliver the various council books.
Okay, I'll certainly look into it and I'll find out for you.
I appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have anything they want to bring before full council tonight?
No, Mayor.
Okay, the next item on the agenda tonight is we have a presentation. Mr. Childs, what are you doing all the way in the back? Okay. All right.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I'm John Childs. I'm the executive director of Mental Fitness, which is the STEAM program here in the city. We operate out of the Fairburn Youth Center after school programming and summer camps. So half of my thunder is stolen because my presentation guy couldn't come,
okay.
but that's okay. I have some awesome stuff to tell you about. And I wrote some things down so I didn't get off track. But I think you all have some documents in front of you that were given. This is kind of a FYI for council and mayor. We're a licensed child care facility, which means that we are regulated by the state, in particular the Department of Early Care and Learning. And so randomly they send out folks to come and evaluate us. And they are the folks that can hand you a license as well as take it away. And so it's very important how we do. And this is just an FYI for council. This has our last three evaluations, and they're all good standing. Which is the highest rate you can have. And the last one, which was done on January 16th, was kind of monumental in that it was the first time we had zero errors or zero plan of action or improvement. And I can take zero credit for that. We finally were able to hire a director for the Fairburn Youth Center location. Her name is Courtney Warford. I was able to take her away from a pretty sought-after pre-K program down in Fayetteville, and she's done an amazing job. I wish she was here, but she's over at the center right now, closing up. So she could take a bow if she was here. But FYI for mayor and council. Now to the fun stuff. It's time for summer camp. This is our fifth year of summer camp here in the city. I can remember when we first got here, we were planning to have 50 kids, and on day one, we had 82 children to show up. And that was a good thing. It's remained consistent since then. We usually enroll about 130 kids, and we usually have a daily average attendance of about 110. And that's good, and we could do more, though. But what I wanted to talk to you about today was very recently, maybe Wednesday of last week, the Fulton County Board of Commissioners recommended that we receive a $50,000 grant from the Fulton County Community Service Program, which we use to subsidize our costs. If you Google STEAM summer camp program in Atlanta, Georgia, you'll see there's nothing less than $200 a week. We're able to provide our program at $110 a week, which is a promise that I made to certain council members at the time that we would keep it affordable as we could. And so that money will help us to do so. We're also going to provide some scholarships out of that money for some families that could use a bit more of a boost to help them to take advantage of the camp. And that information will be on our website. But the most important part of that is that this year I finally get to do something that I've been wanting to do, which was to have the first annual mental fitness pre-K STEAM summer camp. So we will have a dedicated pre-K camp for four-year-olds, preparing them to enter kindergarten, hopefully at an accelerated rate, teaching them some concepts in science and math, technology, and it's going to be absolutely free for 15 pre-Kers. That's good stuff. So that's something very exciting. I will say that there is a registration fee. It's $100, but for 9 weeks of summer camp, all day, breakfast and lunch served, actual teachers, it's a great value. So we're excited about being able to provide that this year. A regular summer camp will still serve kindergartners through seventh grade. We look to still have about 100 of those kids. We'll operate at the youth center and at the GMC Fairburn location. So we're excited about all that. We will still have a half day of STEAM and a half day of normal summer camp fun. Field trips, exposure to agriculture, Lego engineering, all kinds of technology, things that assist the kids when they go back to school. plus, they have a load of fun. Let's see here. We are this year, one of our major partners is called Bricks for Schools. Bricks for Schools is a Lego organization. They've taken it a step further. They have a web-based program that provides Lego building, but is tied to Georgia performance standards, so the math standards in particular. So a teacher has the ability to assign a Lego build, but in between the build, there are multiple choice questions that mimic the Georgia milestone test. So to continue with the build, they have to answer the test questions. So it's a great way to do test prep for children that maybe sometimes don't pay attention, sometimes need to use their hands. We believe in doing it any way we can. This program is currently being used in about 60 schools above the airport, nowhere here in Fairburn, nowhere in the city of South Fulton, except at Mental Fitness. We are going to be providing a grant to three schools to administer this program in school for struggling math learners. We are waiting to hear back from Campbell. Stonewall Tell Elementary has signed on, and we've got another one that we're talking to. And we've also been in contact with Principal Newbold, who will be at the STEAM school here in Fairburn. So very good stuff. Couldn't do it without, you know, I always tell people the well springs from Fairburn for us. We did a summer camp in Englewood, California last year. We've been invited to come back and do it again, and I always talk to them about what we do here in Fairburn as an example of what we could do. So that's it.
Thank you.
Just so council will know, I have an appointment with the new principal at our STEM school, I believe it's next week or week after next. So we're going to sit down and see how the city of Fairburn can collaborate with a new STEM school. We're real excited about that school coming here in the city of Fairburn. Awesome. Okay, so I'll let you all, give you all an update after he and I meet. Okay. Okay, Madam Clerk, public comments, how many do we have? None. Okay, everybody's satisfied tonight. Okay.
All right, the next item on the agenda is the adoption of the council agenda.
have seven items on the agenda tonight that are consent items. The consent items are item number one, item number three, item number four, five, six, seven, eight, and nine. Item number one, Mayor and Council approve appointments to the Art Advisory Council. Item number three, for Mayor and Council approve the purchase of a radar speed detection trailer in the amount of $15,000. Item number four, for Mayor and Council approve the proposed funding for utility projects approved on February 10th, 2020. Item number five is community development for Mayor and Council to approve contract award with Clark Patterson Lee for parking lot design services at the train depot, future location of Casa Blanca restaurant. Item number six, utility department for Mayor and Council to approve the landscape irrigation system requirements ordinance. Item number seven is utility for Mayor and Council to approve the licensing and conversion from the iTron meter reading system to the Neptune cloud-based electronic meter reading system from Delta Municipal in the amount of $26,200. Item number eight is Parks and Recs for Mayor and Council to approve the usage agreement for Southside Kickers Kickball League. And item number nine for Parks and Recreation for Mayor and Council to approve the usage agreement for South Fulton Little League. Is there a motion on the floor to approve these consent items?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Councilman Heath and seconded by Councilwoman Davis. Mm-hmm. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. We have three items on the agenda on the regular agenda tonight, and that's going to be item number two from Human Resources for Mayor and Council to approve the proposed changes to the City of Fairbanks Personnel Policy Handbook, resignation, education assistance, and bereavement leave. The next one would be the two that we added, which would be item number 10 and item number 11. Item number 10. Item number 10 is a resolution of the Mayor and Council of the City of Fairbanks to fully and forever abandon approximately 0.290 acres of public right-of-way and to authorize disposition of same in favor of Landmark Christian School. And the next one is item number 11. Is another resolution of the Mayor and Council of the City of Fairbanks to fully and forever abandon approximately 0.28 acres of public right-of-way. Those are the three items on the regular agenda for tonight. Is there a motion to approve these items on the regular agenda?
So moved.
Motion made by Councilman Whitmore.
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Heath. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Those three items stand on the regular agenda for tonight. Yes. The next item on the agenda is adoption of the City Council minutes for February 10th, 2020. Council, you've seen the minutes. Are there any corrections or objections? Councilman Heath?
I have two. On page number four, where we went into executive session, my name has been misspelled twice. It's Heath instead of Help.
Okay.
But I used to do that when I was in grammar school too, so that's all right.
Okay. Okay, Madam Clerk, do you so note those corrections? Madam Clerk, you noted those corrections? Okay. Are there any other corrections to the minutes? Is there a motion on the floor to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Motion made by Councilwoman Davis and seconded by Councilman Whitmore. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? The motion stands as approved with corrections. No public hearings tonight. The first item on the regular agenda tonight is from Human Resources, Mrs. Johnson. For Mayor and Council to approve the proposed changes to the City of Fairbanks Personnel Policy Handbook, resignation, education, and bereavement leave.
Yes, this item is to recommend changes to the personnel handbook. And the first one is the, would you like for me to go through all three?
Yes, please.
Okay. The first one is the Section 2-52.16, Notice of Resignation. And this would be to provide a point of contact for the exiting employee, whether they are resigning or being involuntarily terminated, with an exit interview form and to be presented by the HR director, and also an exit interview to be conducted by the HR director. It also would require during the 2-week notice period that employee, if they required sick leave during the 2-week notice of resignation period, that a doctor's excusing note would be required. This would deter misuse and abuse of sick leave. The second proposal is to completely remove Section 2-53.5, Education Assistance, from the handbook. This particular section, there references a education plan that exists in personnel, and there is no education assistance plan in use, nor does it exist. Currently, any employee who would need training or development can also request any training from their department head, where there is approved budgeted funds for training and development. The third one is the bereavement leave, Section 2-53.13. And this proposal would be to limit the use of bereavement leave to the employee's immediate family members only, which would include the employee's spouse, children, parents, brothers, sisters, grandparents, and grandchildren, and any other person who resides in their household and who is recognized by federal law as a dependent of the employee, thus removing mother-in-law, father-in-law, son-in-law, or daughter-in-law. However, an employee may use accrued annual leave for non-qualifying relatives.
Okay, is there any discussion on this particular changes to the personnel policy?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilwoman Portis-Jones.
Yes, so we discussed this in the work session, and my issue of concern was the elimination of bereavement for a parent-in-law, for a father or mother-in-law. I think when the parent of a spouse dies, the other spouse is there to support them because they have lost their parent. There may be situations where they may not have annual leave, and probably they would need that to take additional days. I asked for a modification instead of 0 days for bereavement, if we would consider at least 1 day for a parent-in-law. The mayor used the example of part of the motivation for proposing this is that there was, a husband and wife who works for the city, and both of them took the 3-day bereavement, and I can understand why that would be an issue of concern, Mayor, but the two questions I have regarding that is, one, how often does that happen, and two, how many married couples do we have that work for the city, where that would be that we could not accommodate at least 1 day, but I would ask that we maintain the 3 days for a parent-in-law for bereavement. I'm asking the question.
You're asking me how many employees?
Married couples that work for the city.
I told you that we have one, and that the decision was made. And
so
it's,
we're going to punish all of the other people.
We're not punishing anyone.
Yes, we are. Yes,
Councilwoman Portis Jones, this is not going to be an argument session between us. Okay, then you place a motion on the floor. If you get a second, and propose what you would like for us to change it to, and if your motion passes, then we'll go that way. So would you like to put a motion on the floor?
I would.
Okay, you want
to? That is a counter-proposal or substitute proposal for one day of bereavement for an in-law, a parent-in-law, at minimum one day.
Okay, Councilwoman Portis Jones has placed a motion on the floor that we allow one day of bereavement leave for a in-law. Is there a second?
Surprise, surprise.
You're out of order, Ms. Portis Jones. I will not tolerate it tonight. You are out of order. The motion fails for a lack of a second. Okay, are there any more questions concerning the personnel policy? Is there a motion on the floor to approve the personnel policy as it stands?
So moved.
Motion made by Councilman Whitmore. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Councilwoman Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Opposed.
That motion carries 5 with 1 opposition. Make sure your records reflect Councilwoman Portis Jones opposed. Thank you so much. That motion carries. Next item on the agenda are the two that we added. Item number 10, resolution of the Mayor and Council of the City of Fairburn, Georgia to fully and forever abandon approximately 0.280 acres of public right-of-way and to authorize disposition of same in favor of Landmark Christian School to be used for educational purposes. Attorney Turner.
Good evening again, Mayor and Council. There are 2 items in front of you. They're virtually identical items, and I'll go through them real quickly again. The first item that you addressed is concerns a piece of right-of-way that the city acquired many years ago. That property was originally acquired, I think, for the extension of Chestnut Street across Clayton Street. That property, that street was never developed. There is a, now it exists, it's just a piece of right-of-way that fingers into a large tract of land. It's owned entirely by Landmark Christian School. Landmark Christian School expressed interest in acquiring that right-of-way to help them proceed with their construction and refurbishing of their new high school and other changes that they're making to their campus. We have this property has been surveyed. You can see on the very last page of the packet there's a survey that indicates where this property is. This particular request to transfer this right of way was vetted through Mr. Stokes, Mr. Thompson, the utility department. We have no reason for retaining ownership of this property, and it is important to the school that they have it. And as I said, they do own all the property surrounding it, so they're really the only entity that could receive this property. As I said earlier, too, Landmark Christian School paid all the expenses associated with the survey, and they will be reimbursing the city for all the expenses that I am responsible for in reviewing the transfer and preparing the documents for the transfer. So what I'm asking you to do is then to approve each of these resolutions. These resolutions provide for the abandonment of that section of right-of-way and for the transfer over to Landmark Christian School. The other documents that you have in front of you consist of the quitclaim deed that we will get executed if these resolutions are approved.
Okay, are there any questions for Attorney Turner concerning these two resolutions, one for 0.28 acres public right-of-way and the other one for 0.29 acres of public right-of-way for Landmark School? Any questions?
No.
Any comments? Is there a motion on the floor to approve the 0.28 acres of public right-of-way?
So moved.
Motion made by Councilman Pallon and seconded by Councilman Heath. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. The next resolution is for 0.28 acres. Is there a motion on the floor?
So moved.
Motion made by Councilman Whitmore.
Second.
Second by Councilwoman Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, all of you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll start with council comments tonight, and we'll start with Councilwoman Portis-Jones.
Mr. Childs, congratulations on receiving the grant award. That is great news, and glad to know that you'll be using those funds to support the parents who have students there and to start the PK program. If you at some point would just let me know if 15 is your maximum or is that the number that's only allowed for the grant? I'd like to know that. But congratulations on that and continued good work. Fairburn is very, very happy that you started here and that you are getting the recognition and the awards because you are here. So congratulations. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Councilwoman Pallon? Okay. Councilwoman Davis?
No comments tonight.
Okay. Councilman Heath?
I just want to give my accolades to all of the city employees. I have watched this city grow and turn into a real beautiful place with all of the street department, the police department, the fire department. I mean, without all of those people, we as a council could do nothing. And I just want to tell you all that we are very appreciative of our staff. And congratulations on the STEAM. And there's just not enough to say. In the 50s when I was growing up, there was nothing that anybody could go to. And it's just a fact that you're taking your time to come in and to work with these children so that they may advance even further throughout their life. And you just never know what kind of an impression you're going to leave upon a child. And then you see them when they're grown up and see what they've actually, how they fulfilled themselves. That's great. And thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That's all.
Councilman Whitmore.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Childs, thank you for that presentation. And as we talked off record, whenever you get those reports, Mayor and Council wants to see them. You're an extension of the arm of this city, and we appreciate you being here. Second to that, just like to say all the work that you have done is highly appreciated. When you came here 5 years ago, who would have ever thought that we would be at this juncture right now? So thank you for all the work that you're doing. Also, I would like to also challenge you now too. And that challenge is with this grant money and everything that we have coming in from Waste Industries and other entities, I still want to make sure that we focus on Fairburn proper, and we're reaching out to the elementary school and the middle school, dealing with the representatives there that know of eligible needy individuals that could really benefit from this additional educational arm. All right, it's important to me as a council person that we reach out to our youth, and my thought process is as many as we can get into this program and start having them think along these lines, I'm looking for those individuals to excel on the college and come back and give back to the city of Fairburn. So I applaud you for all that you have done and continue the good work. Thank you, sir.
Again, Mr. Childs, thank you for your service to the city of Fairburn. It is a deed, a pleasure to work with you. You're doing great work here, and we all appreciate it. So we're looking forward to greater things happening in the future with you and STEAM. So again, just congratulations. We have an executive session, but before I adjourn us, I don't know if council has met our new economic development director, Kalanis. Would you come to the mic and just say a few words to council tonight? I hate to put you on the spot. You were here last 2 weeks, but we didn't get you to come up front. Okay. Introduce yourself to council.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, Council. Kalanis Johnson, the new Economic Development Director. Second week, glad to be here. I met a few of you at the ribbon cutting for the park and ride lot last Friday, but pleased to be here. Working with Dennis, obviously, and Tarika and Lester, showing me the ropes. I'm actually got a lot of things I'm trying to get started and move forward on. I'm going to meet with some of the department heads I haven't met with already. Just get a feel of how we can coordinate economic development with fire, police, and the like, finance as well. So if I haven't called you yet, I will be reaching out to you. But just glad to be here. Any questions from anybody?
Okay, thank you.
Welcome aboard.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Also want council to know that on Friday we hired our new Main Street manager. And so she should be coming on board, Ms. Johnson, when?
March 4th.
Wow. And our new Parks and Recreation Director is coming on board on March 4th. I'm not sure if you all know him. His name is John Culbert. He is coming out of retirement, 30 plus years with the City of Atlanta, Parks and Recreation. So we're really excited to have John come on board with us on March 4th also. So we got two new people coming on board in very strategic positions here in the city that can indeed move our city forward just a little, awesome. Little more for us. And so that's what we're interested in, and growth and our city just being really the capital of South Fulton, as we also always say. We did do the park and ride opening on Friday. The weather was beautiful. It changed for us. The sun came out, and we cut the ribbon. So, Chief, there's one thing that I've been getting calls about, and it's making sure that those tractor-trailer trucks don't think that that's their private parking lot. So anytime we have them up there, we're going to have to get them out of there. So we're really excited about that. So things are moving here in Fairburn. March 23rd, I will be giving my State of the City address. I would like to invite you all out to First Baptist Church of Fairburn at 7 o'clock. And you'll hear about the things that have happened in the city in the last year. We're really excited. We're moving the city, and we're not stopping for anyone. And so come out on the 23rd at 7 o'clock. We'll have a reception afterwards. And so myself and council can mingle and have conversations with you as we may have a little food. I think advertisement said light snacks, but we just may do something a little bit different for you. So nobody wants cake and punch that time of night. So if you all would put it on your calendars for March 23rd at 7 o'clock at First Baptist Church of Fairburn. With that being said, I'd like to entertain a motion to go into executive session.
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Whitmore and seconded by Councilman Heath. This meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you.